As promised, Luke Hakala is with me this morning. He is really the guy in charge of the big new project happening to clean up our water and wastewater systems. Thank you so much, Luke, for coming in this morning.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's always great to have you. And I'm always I'm just really into water. So it's really always fun to hear you talk about this. Also, as a swimmer, I got to say that, you know, I definitely swim along our peninsula. So I really care about the quality of the water out there. And I know you're on this. So you were here months and months ago when we first started talking about this, you know, really major upgrade that was going to happen in Two Harbors. And now it is clearly underway. We walk by there every morning and there is a lot going on. And I would like to say I particularly love, there's two big cranes that reach way into the sky. You can see them from far away. And the very tallest one has an American flag fluttering at the top. So obviously there's a lot going on over there, Luke.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When they're messing with that and putting that up there,
I love that flag.
Yeah, we thought it was pretty neat too. They also have like a wind speed indicator up there.
Yeah. You become part of the National Weather Service?
Yeah.
Or is it just for your own benefit?
No, it's for them, for their loads, you know, when they're picking up, you know, heavy panels and concrete and whatnot. They got to know where the wind is and the speed and where it's coming from and how they swing it. And yeah, there's just all these little details that pay attention to when they're there.
Yep. Okay, so I assume it's all going. I mean, we talked about what was going to happen, and now tell us what is happening.
Yeah, so they're about a year in right now. I mean, this time last year, they were setting up blasting mats, and they were blasting and closing the trail down. And now they're a full year into it, and keep in mind, it's a 42-month build.
Right. I'm not excited yet.
Yeah, so I mean, we're only 12 months into a 42-month build, so as far as them being on schedule, there's some milestones in the project that they have to hit. One of the problems with this project is that for us to stay on our footprint, which is extremely small, they have to build the buildings where they're at now, which is kind of in the backside of the lot there.
Yeah.
And then once these are up and running, we'll move our operations into these newer buildings, and then they'll demolish the ones that we're in now. And then they're going to build some things in the footprint of what they've demolished. So,
right. So
they have not asked for any extensions on anything as of right now. They're still on target to hit their milestone one, which is April of next year, I believe. We're on target to kind of move into these newer buildings.
Okay.
The end of next year. And so what the biggest tank that you see there? That's what we call is the biosolids holding tank. That's done. It's 100% done. It was actually water tested. They call it a hydro test, but they filled it with water, and they're now draining that out.
Wow.
That's almost empty. It's 1.5 million gallons. so that's almost emptied. And then they've got the other two taller circular concrete tanks. Those are clarifiers, and they're hydro testing one of them, and the second one they're putting in some of the mechanical mechanisms in there. And that's why they need the cranes, as they lift up the pieces and they set them in there.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff inside, they're actually doing concrete pours inside, so they have little like 1 yard concrete hoppers that they pick up, and they just, you know, take one load at a time with that crane, and they just keep pouring inside of it with that. And
so what are the two smaller ones for?
So the two smaller ones, those are clarifiers. So what that does is after, though getting too technical, after it passes through the heart of our plant, which is our extended aeration process, those are like basically settling ponds. And the solids will settle out and the clean water rises to the top, and then that goes into our filters and then into the lake. And then the solids that settle out in those clarifiers, that goes into the big tank that's there. That's your biosolids.
Oh.
So that'll get pumped.
Eventually to be put on fields somewhere else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the idea. Yep.
It is hard to imagine we could ever come close to filling that biosolids.
Yeah, I know. It's at peak capacity, that's a year's worth of storage there.
Okay.
So if we're running our full permitted amount, that would be 1 year of storage. So we've done some math to kind of calculate where we're at, but we just really won't know until we start putting material in it and seeing what our loadings are and seeing how long we have for storage. Right now, we don't have any. So just to have anything is just a blessing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So the process essentially is that things flow. It's the clarifiers where all the work really happens, and then it's just stored in the biosolids.
So actually, the magic actually happens in the extended aeration tanks, which are the square tanks that they're building Be that to the north of the two clarifiers, and they're kind, it's kind of along the tree line, along the fence line there, so you can't really see them very good from the road.
Okay.
If you walked along the trail a little bit, you might be able to see them in there. But that's the heart of the plant. That's where all the biology is. That's where the magic happens. That's where things broken down, and 18 to 24 hours, it's going to sit in there, and just, you know, the bugs are going to munch on stuff and be happy and breathe and live and reproduce. And after it's done in there, then it passes into the clarifiers to settle out.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of like just your settling stage. That's where you're separating everything that's been going on. And
right.
That's where, yep, the water goes through the filters. The biosolids goes into that big tank there, and life's good.
It's all separated out. And is that early process where the magic happens, as you say, is that the same process as the old one, or is this a new process?
Yeah, so currently we have what's called conventional aeration. And conventional aeration is like 4 to 6 hours of contact time. So if you imagine a meal that you're going to sit down and eat, you've got 4 to 6 hours to eat it, and then it goes on and it goes through. This one here, it's extended aeration. So they're designing it to have 18 to 24 hours of sit-down time. So those bugs have a lot longer time to sit and digest and process it. It's really good for shock loadings, things, higher industrial discharges, or I&I.
Yeah.
If you get I&I coming in and it hits in there.
What's I&I?
Inflow and infiltration. So
a rain
event.
Right.
Yep. Water coming in from storms and whatnot. You might go from 500 gallons a minute to 5,000 gallons a minute.
Right.
Well, you've got these extended aeration capacities where you've got longer time in there. It's just really good for shock loads and inflow and infiltration.
Yeah. So the idea is that it will be more thorough and it will just have more time to do what it really needs to do.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So it's the same in the fact that it's using the same biology, the same bugs. It needs air. It needs, microorganisms. But it's different in the fact the design life, the time that it's in there for is extended significantly.
Yes. Okay. So it's kind of a three-part process. Is that a good simplification, or is it even just too complicated, more than that?
No, I mean, there's preliminary treatment. That's the building with the awning and the lean-to there that's closest to the road.
Okay.
The block building. That's preliminary. Then there's primary treatment, secondary treatment, and tertiary. So there's like a four-step process,
I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, and it's all being done, and it sounds like in April, if all goes well, something's going to get moved into the new system.
Well, that's their first milestone date where they're, all these clarifiers and buildings should be getting close. But as far as like us actually moving into them, we won't actually physically be able to move in until next winter.
Okay.
Maybe about this time next year is the goal. You don't want to fire up a biological plant in the wintertime because they say life begins and ends at 40, which is 40 degrees for this kind of process. So they don't really want to, they're like us. If it's
tempting
cold outside, if it's cold outside, they don't want to go to work, they don't. So there's enough there and it happens, but you're not growing and you're not developing biology at under 40 degrees. So we want to get in there before, and we want to get these tanks up and running well before temperatures get down.
Okay. And then how long are those cranes going to be there? Are they there for the duration?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll be there for the duration. The bulk of, maybe one of them could potentially move off site. But like I had said, they're going to do some demolition, and then they've got other buildings to build, big chlorine contact tank, which is where the pathogens are, disinfected.
Yeah.
They're going to build a new tank there. So they've got more stuff to do. They've got actually another, the biosolids building is right by the walking trail there. They haven't even really started getting above ground with that. So they've just got a lot of work to do yet to get out of the ground.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so two questions that come to mind. First is it all going to stay contained within that fence there? I know you showed me some diagrams, and right now they pulled down a few trees to dig a pipe so that, 'cause there's no water line to the outer part of it. And it makes me wonder, oh, maybe this is bigger even than we thought. Or is it pretty much going to stay contained in that?
Yeah. So it's all staying in the footprint of the facility.
Okay.
That one exception was the water line, which ran kind of south of the fence line there. The reason that had to get put in was because we just simply didn't have a water line back there. We're building new buildings, which demand, high volume water. So they had to put in a new water line, fire hydrants, and things like that.
Oh, okay.
There is a fence that's going to be built along the perimeter when it's all done. That'll be one of the last things that are done. And then there's a landscape budget for trees. I believe currently what the plan is once it's all done, they'll take that budget and they'll hand it off to the Trees and Trail Committee, and they'll be able to sit there and kind of figure out what they want to do. As far as us as being operators, and we're concerned about maintenance, of course, things like that. But
right.
When it comes to trees and trails outside of the fence, we'll hand that off to.
Yeah,
to
good. I would love to. I'll for sure follow up with that, because it seems like once it's all said and done, like right now, it looks pretty darn naked. But it's going to, you know, I'm assuming the new fence will probably be pretty substantial. And then with a layer of trees there, it could really kind of hide it. That would be the goal, I guess.
Yeah, and you're really going to have to be patient, because that's the, you know, the very, very end
right,
of the project.
I know. So, years ahead.
Yeah, it's literally years down the road before that'll get taken care
yeah.
of. But it's in there. It's all designed to be in there. The city utility committee and council took a long time to design the fence and look at the fence and the trees and trails. You know, the trees were a big talk. So
good.
There was a lot of discussion going into the aesthetics.
Good. And, I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And then is, like, I know this is even farther down the line, but is there any kind of kiosk you're going to put up to explain? Like, I think this could be really interesting for people as they walk by, and maybe that's beyond what you've your scope or what you need to do or what you want to do.
Yeah, our goal is not to be seen down there, you know.
Okay.
So that was kind of the idea of the fence, you know.
Okay.
You know, the fence is pretty tall. They're going to have some berms off of the road, so it'll be a little bit higher even. Obviously,
yeah.
from a distance, you can see the tank sticking way up there. But when you're walking,
you don't want to draw attention to it.
We don't want to draw attention to it. We just want a nice neutral site down there so people can just kind of walk and take in the lake and enjoy it. And I mean, our founding fathers put the wastewater plant in the heart of the lake
right.
and on the shoreline there. I mean, so we're trying to do best with what we've been given to just be good stewards of that and keep that in mind. It's all been thought about for sure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then, all right, whole new topic, the water treatment plant. So the water coming into the city, that is also being upgraded. Tell us where that's at.
Yeah. So the water treatment plant, of course, is on the intersection of South Avenue and Park Road. And they're very much next to each other. You can see.
Right.
And people are familiar with that. It's the big tank and the grassy knoll there in the
yep.
parking lot. So what is going on there is there's a new chlorine contact tank that will be built. And what that is that's that big grassy knoll, the big hill that everybody likes to slide on and
yes.
stand on and look out at the lake on. That will be going away. So they're going to build a new one in the parking lot.
Really?
Yes. And it's going to be considerably smaller. The one that's there is about 500,000 gallons. And the one that we're building is going to be about 300,000 gallons. So they have to build it in the parking lot because they have to keep the water plant in service while they build it.
Okay.
So once the new one is built and up and piped in and plumbed in and working, then they will demolish the old one. That'll come down.
And that will just become flat field.
Yeah, they're going to turn that into a parking lot and put a trailhead there for public to park on.
Oh.
The new tank is actually going to be smaller, so it'll be lower to the ground. It won't be as high. It's still going to stick up, but there should be some better views there. And then they also are designing a lookout for the public, so you could park in the parking lot there and walk up, and there'll be hand railings and things, so you can actually walk up and take a break and take a look at the lake. And
a little more scenic than what they got going.
Yeah, a little more welcoming with some safety measures in there and whatnot on half of the tank to try and, because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm sure the community has seen this, when tourists are up, they like to park right in the middle of the road
yeah.
and stare at the lake. You
right.
know?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, and it's a safety thing. I mean, you're coming over the corner in the hill there, so we want to encourage them to you know, get off of there, get on the parking lot, and if you want to take it in, walk up onto the tank and just take a look. And
okay.
There's some other things that are going to go on there. There's some siding that's going to go on the building, some concrete siding, because right now we've got block that likes to leak through the walls.
So is the whole new idea just clean up the leaks and sort of change around where things go, create a better capacity, and then that's it? Or is it also a whole new process?
So it's going to be the exact same process that okay. we have there. The design is just the same thing for the pathogens, you know, get the water slow through there. But the tank was built in 1957. It's extremely large for what we need. We've got over a day's worth of storage in there.
And okay.
We just don't want that kind of storage for what we're
well,
doing.
Well, plus you got the whole lake, right? So it's not like you don't need a water source. You know the water is going to come in from the lake.
We've got an elevated storage tank that's got 1 million gallons in it.
Yeah.
So we don't need the 500,000 there plus 1 million in the air. It's just the town uses 500,000 gallons a day. It's just too much storage. And then also there's what's called a pumping chamber, and that's what the actual pumps suck out of. They draw out of.
Okay.
And the pumping chamber that we have now is just super small. It's very, very tiny. It's like a thimble. So you don't have any operating level there. There's no capacity for your pumping chamber. So we're adding a bigger pumping chamber. We're making it smaller for the detention tank part of it. It's it's technical stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You try and talk it down, but it's all stuff that needs to be done.
I'm
you know,
just
I mean,
glad you understand it.
Yeah, and our engineers do too. We're blessed to have very good engineers working with us, and we've been here a long time. And so it's not an actual water treatment facility upgrade. It's just the chlorine contact tank, and then a few things like siding and whatnot. But still, you're looking around $5 to $7 million.
Okay.
And I say that because just with the way inflation is and things are right now, a project that we thought was $5 million a couple of years ago is now, you know, $7 to $8 million.
I mean, yeah, right.
Everything is just really going up. The city does have grant money for that. We're sitting on about $4 million in grant money right now. So,
okay.
So there's a lot of it that's already paid for. We're looking at bidding that in January and accepting bids in February.
Okay.
And start construction on that next year.
Okay. So, and how long will that project take?
That's about a year. Yeah.
Okay. So much smaller deal.
Much smaller. Yep.
Okay. Well, I have more questions, but we are out of time. So I think I better hold them until next time. Thank you so much, Luke, for being here this morning.
You bet. You're welcome. Thanks.
That's Luke Hakala. He is the,
the superintendent of water and wastewater treatment.
Thank you.
Yeah.